On this episode of The Playbook, I have one of my mentors, Tim Draper. Draper University, the Silicon Valley's finest, Sand Hill Roads. His most successful startups are just a few, Skype, Twitter, and Tesla. We won't talk about the miss he had with Netflix, though. Join me for all of this and more.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host and CEO of Sports One Marketing, David Meltzer.
This is Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs The Playbook. I'm here with Tim Draper, Draper Associates, Draper University, and one of my favorite books, How to Be the Startup Hero.
Yeah,
I literally am a startup hero.
No question.
And I'll tell you why. Because 1 out of 10 of my startups are hugely successful, and I look like a king. And entrepreneurs don't get that, but you and I do.
Absolutely. 1 out of 10. Absolutely. That's perfect. That's exactly what you're supposed to do.
It's really good.
You're supposed to go for the long shot, long odds at some extraordinary outcome.
As long as
you
one
do it, you lose, and then boom.
Yeah, it's really easy to hide the 9. That's what I found out as my got older and older. Nobody asked me about the 9.
Right. They care about the 1.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It really matters.
That's really good. Well, you know, obviously you have more experience.
Although people do ask me a lot about my failures.
Yeah.
And my failures tended to be failures to act. Those are the ones that really kill me.
Really, the ones that got away.
Yeah.
Give me one big one that got away from you that you sort of saw.
Oh, I was such an idiot. I turned down Netflix, and I did because I said to Reed, look, yeah, I want to back you, but you're talking about mailing discs to people. You're using the U.S. mail and mailing discs to people. In a year or two, streaming's going to be everywhere. And he said, they aren't ready for that yet.
Ugh.
And I went, yeah, well, why don't I just wait for that? And huge mistake.
Yeah, yeah.
Enormous mistake.
Now,
plenty of others, but that's one that irks me, where it was completely my fault.
And as you're looking at companies, what do you look at first in a company to invest in it?
When I'm looking at a company, I'm saying, is this big enough? Does it matter? What happens if it works? That's actually my biggest question. The rest of the questions are like, what could go wrong? Who cares? All these things are they could all go wrong in lots of ways. But the thing that really matters is, if it's successful, how big does it get? How great could this be for society, for the customer, for the people of some region, whatever it is? How great could it be? And if it's great, then I'm totally into it. I also kind of have a love for taking new technologies into industries that have gotten lazy and sort of bureaucratic, where the customer is paying a high price for bad service. And, you know, there are plenty of those industries around, right?
That's really
healthcare,
smart.
Banking, government.
Car,
worst
car
service,
dealers
highest.
Used to be that way.
Yeah.
It's still a little antiquated. Those are great industries. Now, I had a saying for mine. It was 3 things I want to say in respect. Can it make a lot of money? Can it help a lot of people? But also, can I have a lot of fun with it? Do you still look for that enjoyment piece when
the
you're
fun
investing?
Part? Well, I want to make sure that the team is having fun doing what they're doing. That's important.
Yeah.
And make a lot of money is actually almost a counterintuitive thing for me, because when I ask the question, the people who want to make a lot of money tend not to make a lot of money. The ones who have passion for the field, for the science, for the marketplace, for the customer, they make a lot of money, and they never even, maybe in the back of their minds they thought, maybe I'll get rich, but really they just had a mission. And the mission, the ones who want to make a lot of money, when the going gets tough, they disappear.
Right. But the project you look at to see, does it have an opportunity to create abundance?
Yeah.
It has to be a big enough project.
It's got
to
be big, and ideally it's using some great technology in a novel way. Or maybe taking an industry and sort of turning it on its head.
Right, and looking at things differently. What about the leaders? You know, a lot of times when I make the investment, I'm not quite sure about the business, but I know business is evolutionary, not revolutionary in my mind. And if sometimes I had this one woman entrepreneur out of Arizona, and she had adopted two kids when she was 18. Her parents kicked her out of the house for doing it. And by 30, you know, seven-figure successful entrepreneur, and she had this great idea, a technology, and I wasn't quite sure about it, but I loved her. Mm-hmm. Do you ever make those bets?
Yeah. And sometimes just entrepreneur overrules everything else.
Because you figure it's like Netflix,
they'll
right?
They'll figure it out.
Like, yeah. There's a great entrepreneur.
Right. That guy's brilliant. Yeah. One of the smartest guys I've ever known. And I blew it. I should have just done that.
I blew more than in the same way. Now, also, when people are pitching you, right? A lot of times we were discussing, I have the show Elevator Pitch, and after the elevator pitch, and I find out all the details of the deal, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a wonderful
this
opportunity.
It's really interesting. Yeah. Well, that's actually why I go to, I think I went to 50 conferences last year and probably gave, probably 300 speeches. And I do it because when I'm at those conferences, all these people come up to me and then I kind of go, hey, oh, that's really, wait a second, what are you doing?
Right. It's better than them coming to you, right?
Yeah.
I do the same thing. Yeah. I travel too many days, but I'm always looking at deal flow and, you know, just really unique opportunities. And then I see one of the crossovers is when you take a certain field or industry and apply what's successful in another industry. And so sometimes I'm out in Hong Kong and then someone has this, you know, sports thing, but because I have a diverse background, I'm like, well, you know, this could apply to medicine. Have you ever thought?
Oh, absolutely. Right?
Yeah, I had
one. Well, you know, Hotmail, the whole viral marketing thing that I came up with, that was really applying what the women did with Tupperware and having Tupperware parties.
Yeah.
I applied that thinking, which is like, how do you get your customer to become your sales force? And I said, well, wait a second. If I'm sending you an email, you send it to your friends. They send it to their friends. And it just goes, it's
viral,
spreads like virally.
That's
and so that was like maybe one of the biggest things I've ever done. And it came because I was applying something I had learned from somewhere else into this new field.
It applies a lot. So I had a deal the other day where because I deal with athletes a lot, mm-hmm. and they wanted to have one-on-one time for athletes to talk to their fans, and it has an automatic billing system in it. But immediately in my mind, because I went to law school and worked for West Publishing and did the merger with Thomson Reuters, with Westlaw in the early 90s, like backed into technology, I looked at it and I said, oh my gosh, this would be great for consultants and lawyers, because the biggest complaint that we always have with lawyers is, did you really spend that much time on the phone with me? Or so imagine mm-hmm. having a face-to-face conversation and you get to see the billable and your credit card can pay it immediately, right?
Right.
And so I took, and they had no idea, they were all over the sports side. I said, hold on, I have an introduction for you on the legal
really
side.
Really interesting.
And consult, I love the deal now. Let's move to Draper University.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah. We'll talk. Okay. Moreover though, Draper University is something that I see. I think our education system needs to be reformed. I have three teenage daughters, an 8-year-old son. I'm, you know, two are going to college, and I'm sending them for social reasons, because if they really want to be educated, I have better ways to educate them when they know what they want to do.
So give them 10 years and have them go to Draper University. When it's really a school for the 20 to 30-year-old, and it's so unique. We create heroes from ordinary people. They come out, they go in as ordinary people, and they come out feeling like, hey, I get it, I can do it, I'll try stuff. I'll go out and try stuff. And it's a team, it's all about the team. Whereas, and you're a sports guy, whereas in school, it's all about the individual, and getting an A means you didn't make any mistakes. We do the opposite. We encourage mistakes, we encourage failure, try again, pick yourself back up and go. We take them through very odd, strange things. Emotional training from this woman who's a Tony Robbins acolyte, you know, kind of
nice.
Reaches in there and grabs their heart and soul, and shakes it up. We put them through survival training with Navy SEALs and Special Forces and Army Rangers, and then we have All the best entrepreneurs come in, a bunch of great entrepreneurs come in and give talks. And then we have activities that are all team-based activities. So that it's so different from everything they learned in school.
That's exactly
it's all hands-on. It's all go, go, go. And I found that I was, you know, we have a pledge and some other things. I found that I was repeating myself as I was talking to a lot of these different classes, because we've had quite a few classes, 13 classes and 1,000 students. No, it's been more than that, probably 16 classes and 1,000 students. And so I realized I should write a book. So I wrote the book. And the book is really for those people who want to be that kind of startup hero when they go out and do something great. And this is all based on the pledge. And the pledge is like, I will promote freedom at all costs, and goes on, I will fail and fail again until I succeed. I will explore the world with gusto and enthusiasm.
And you decked out your whole office with superheroes.
Oh yeah, the whole place is full.
I want to get on your list to teach, because that's my kind of school.
And good, really, you'd have fun.
I would love that.
Yeah, we only give anybody an hour. I get a little more time, but.
Yeah, no, that's enough time for me.
Yeah, they get an hour
that's
to teach, because we don't want one professor to kind of capitalize on their life for that long, because they're entrepreneurs. They've got to skip and figure out what's next and then go, that's where I'm headed. You know, they need that broad base.
And you feel what age is the best to enter the university? Because you're saying
probably 24.
So they had me a little bit of, I think that's something in America, that entrepreneurs make America and keep America great, in my opinion.
Yeah,
we solve all the problems. People don't realize it. We solve all the problems.
And nobody notices it. And then all of a sudden, America turns on these great entrepreneurs, like, you know, Bezos and Zuckerberg. They turn on them. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? These guys are awesome.
Yeah.
What have they have done extraordinary things. This world is so much better for Amazon.
Yeah.
You know, how can you possibly focus all that energy on taking down somebody who's that awesome?
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's healthy worldwide for people to realize that we lead the world in entrepreneurship. You know, it's great to have code, you know, engineers, mm-hmm. and all of this other talent that's necessary, but it's truly the great entrepreneurs that I've been, and you've been blessed to be around. It's the people that can access information, look at things differently, and monetize it for truly social impact. If people don't realize that Bezos has helped more people, you know, although he's not known yet for giving money back, but he'll get there just like Gates did.
Well, even if, I don't think he should.
Yeah.
He, by keeping his money in this amazing company, Amazonian company, he's doing more for society than he ever could by giving it to some nonprofit. I mean, nonprofits, they do serve a good purpose, and they're pretty, but no nonprofit has had the kind of impact that, say, Google has.
No way.
Or Apple has.
And Warren Buffett himself spent all those years being criticized because he understood compound interest, and he personally wasn't giving away his money.
Right.
But he knew every dollar that he was reinvesting was
good
be,
for society.
And then he ends up being one of the most generous people later on in life and encouraging other people to donate and create. And I love that about
him. I like the paying it forward thing. I like that. I don't feel an obligation to give back, because there's nothing back, but paying it forward, and the way I do that is I just keep funding more entrepreneurs.
Yeah, and you have the university, which is a nonprofit, right? Those kids are getting empowered.
The university is a for-profit.
For-profit.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
Because we did not want all the restrictions that accreditation and nonprofitism does to schools, so we can be open.
What do you think?
Although it is a not profitable business.
Right, that's what I meant to say. Right, I didn't mean to say it was a charity. Not a profitable business.
I'm giving a lot of money in.
Yeah, and
not
your
much
time
out.
And the people that donate their time. Yeah. Exactly. Now,
although it has really paid off in interesting ways. We have 1,000 students. I backed one of them, and this woman created this tool or a fiber line that goes up the fallopian tube and can determine if there's cancer or not.
Oh, wow.
And she got FDA approval and just sold her business for $275 million. We put her on our board, and she paid for a couple of years of Draper University. I mean, just because of that great return. And our students have become my scouts too for my venture business. So it's not purely,
that's paying it forward.
It's interesting. Being you pay it forward, it keeps coming, cycles back around, you do it again.
I've had a huge intern program with Lee Steinberg for years. And now that I'm old, it's wonderful because the kids are calling that I gave their first opportunity to and empowered them with training and really spiritual and emotional training, you know, gratitude, empathy, accountability, mm-hmm. you know, how to be motivated, you know, more than the pragmatic side of how to be a sports agent. But now, you know, they're at ESPN and Disney and all these places, and opportunities are coming and growing as well. Now, a lot of people ask me as an entrepreneur, because it's such a nondescript thing, it's such an emotional thing to be an entrepreneur, are there certain skills and knowledge that you would encourage young entrepreneurs? I'm a chancellor of Junior Achievement University. We have Junior Achievement University.
That thing's great.
And 100 million alumni. But the kids, you know what, it starts at 12 all the way to 25. They're really always that question, what should I work on skills-wise? Are there certain skills that you've noticed in your entrepreneurial journey that really help an entrepreneur?
You know, I think it's just, I think it's a combination of things, but a willingness to complete whatever the mission is, just each time make sure that they're not, because it's so easy to quit.
Right.
So somebody who is very willing to run the full marathon, do the full thing, complete the whole project, you know, and tie it up with a really nice bow. Those are the entrepreneurs that actually make it big. They have to, you know, there's so many hard things to do and there's so many things that hit them during a day. But if they have that willingness to put in that little extra effort to just get it done and close it and get it done well, like the difference between an A and a B was probably, it probably took twice as much work.
True.
Okay, same thing with an entrepreneur. You want that attitude like, I'm gonna put in twice as much work.
And it's true, those subtleties of success. What I hear you saying though is you're looking for entrepreneurs that enjoy, so they have a passion for the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of their potential. They know that there's this infinity out there and they have a different vision according to what they believe to be right. Last question.
I like how you call it an infinity, because if they're thinking toward a goal, there isn't really an end goal. It used to be like, hey, we go public and that was the end goal. That doesn't make sense. What you really, your end goal should be, society is going to change in a big way, or my customers will be so delighted they'll tell all their friends and it'll spread all the way around the world. That kind of thing. And then we'll have other services for them and we'll do a better job and we'll do that kind of attitude, like just keep improving is great for an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
In fact, Vivek Ranadive, who's now the Kings owner, but started TIBCO, I asked him, what's your secret to success? And he said, we just keep trying to make it better.
Like BASF. Nobody knows this word. It's make it better. Last question. What is your secret to success? Thank you for coming on.
Put up that extra work.
Yeah.
I think that's as much a part of it as any. I think I probably went to more events, saw more people, got interviewed more than any other venture capitalist on the planet, and I still keep going. And I think I keep pursuing better and better things because I've had positive feedback. There's something to that. If you get a little positive feedback early, it really helps you become successful, because you go, well, look, I did this and it came back this way. And so the positive feedback has been like the world's opened up a lot because of my viral marketing, the Hotmail thing, and backing Skype, it opened up even more. Backing Bitcoin totally opened up the entire economy. I mean, I'm getting to see some of the
world change
that has happened because I just did that. I just kept working.
But you're my first VC that I've had on for that reason, because we're a little bit different in age, although you look younger, but you were my startup hero. You know, with Hotmail, I was here in Silicon Valley, a young age. Internet was an entirely different thing, but I looked and said, you know, I take on these emotional heroes like Napoleon Hill or mm-hmm. you know, Wayne Dyer, other people.
It's funny, Napoleon Hill, my daughter just loved that book.
Thinking Grow Rich, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you were one of those people that I would study and say, this is the type of leader that I wanted to be, because I had friends who worked for you, and as you know, read and see, I believe you don't necessarily have to have a mentor that you know. You can watch afar and see how they interact and motivate people. And you're still a startup hero. I encourage everyone, I can't wait to read this myself again. I got the soft copy instead of the hard copy. And it's just been a pleasure, Tim. I appreciate it.
Terrific. Tim Great. Draper. Thanks so much for having me on your show. And I'll sign your book.
Yes, please. Tim Draper with Dave Meltzer here on Entrepreneurs, The Playbook. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.